But we definitely need to get started. It's been a ridiculously long, now that Shir isn't on Yom Tov, but instead it's on Sundays. Yom Tov, when Shir was on Shabbos afternoon, there was no such thing as missing a week for during Pesach. Okay, it's the way it goes. So just to review where we were, we're on Zayin Amud Beis 7b. We'll get back to that shortly, but we started after the whole discussion about having initial relations on Friday night. We started the discussion about Sheva Brachos, and as I put at the top of the source sheet, so you can see it there, we discussed whether you need 7 days of Sheva Brachos for marriages if it's not the first marriage for the chasan or the kala or both, and the conclusion was that in the event that it's seven, that in the event that it's a first marriage for either of them, then Sheva Brachos are for 7 days. Whereas if it's not a first marriage for either of them, then we said that it's only 1 day. We contrasted that with Simcha, and we said that Simcha is a separate mitzvah, right? Sheva Brachos is a response to the joy that the chasan feels, whereas Simcha is his obligation to make her happy. What we said was, if it's her first marriage, then that's a 7-day obligation for him to stay home and make her happy. Our assumption is that him staying home actually does make her happy. And that, in the event that it's not her first marriage, then it's only 3 days. That was for Simcha. And then we say Sheva Brachos under the chuppah and during the week as Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'ah. It's not a bracha on a mitzvah. Rather, it's a bracha of Shevach. It's praise to Hashem and thanks triggered by the joy that we feel. And we ask the question of why exactly we require 10. What's the basis for requiring 10? The Gemara asks how we know we require 10. But what's the reason for needing 10 was our question. So we brought two views. One view was, and I put it on the sheet in the outline. One view, the Shita Mekubetz has quoted from the Gaonim, is because Sheva Brachos is a Davar Sheb B'Kedusha. It was enacted to be something holy, like the other things that require a minyan, and therefore you require a minyan for Sheva Brachos as well. Second view was, the view of Moshe Feinstein brought in the Dibros Moshe, that you want to have a large group of people in order to create joy. Rov Am, the more people you have, the greater the joy, and the threshold there is when you have 10. That was a second possibility. By the way, actually, entirely random thing that happened to me Shabbos morning. Very strange. I'm walking home from the 8 a.m. minyan at shul with my family, and somebody's walking the other way, and he says, Rabbi, random question. Does Sheva Brachos require a minyan? Out of nowhere. I said, I'm so glad you asked that. Yes, this is a practical question for people, especially, unfortunately, nowadays. It becomes a question. But those were the two answers we gave last time when we talked about why we require a minyan, either Davar Sheb B'Kedusha or because gatherings create joy. I wanted to show you something this time that I didn't see. I didn't see it before the last shiur. It came up when I was preparing a completely different shiur. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a third idea for why you require 10 for Sheva Brachos, and I found it to be fascinating. Does everyone have the source sheet, or do you need me to share it? People have it? Okay. So, shaking the head no. Alright, so I'm gonna open it on here, but while I'm opening it on here, I'll tell you what Rav Chaim said. It's on the sheet. The source that I brought you on the sheet actually comes from a sefer called the Rishimos Shiurim. The Rishimos Shiurim, were written up by, Rav Chaim Bronstein, a student of Rav Soloveitchik, from the Shiurim, the classes that he gave. I'm just opening it up on here, so it'll take me a moment. From the Shiurim that Rav Soloveitchik gave at YU. So I'm going to share on here the piece from this Shiur of Rav Soloveitchik. And it should show up any moment. There we go. Can people see it? So in this piece, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, is quoting Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, about the mitzvah of tzedakah. And Rav Chaim points out that the mitzvah of tzedakah appears in Parshas Behar, and it also appears in Parshas Re'eh. But the formulations are a little bit different. And some of the things that you notice, if you take a look, he says, Hivchin hagrach zatzal ben shtei parashir shabbatorah hamitzavos al atzdaka. He says, Rav Chaim found a difference between two sections in the Torah which command regarding tzedakah. Hang on 1 second, I think I have to let somebody in. I'm going to have to stop sharing for a second. Usually it lets me do that. I don't know. All right, I'm going to share it again. Let's try that again. So he said there are differences between the two sections in the Torah that speak of tzedakah. Parsha achas bira'eh, one in Parshas Re'eh, and he presents the psukim to you. When there is a pauper among you from one of your brethren at one of your gates in the land that Hashem is giving you, don't harden your heart, don't close your fist from your brother the needy. Ki pasarach tiftach es yodchalo, you shall open your hand for him. That's what appears in Parshas Re'eh. Whereas in Parshas Behar, it says, v'chiyamuch achicha omataya dawimach, when your brother becomes indigent, his hand descends among you. V'chazakta bo, you shall hold on to him. Ger v'soshav v'chai imach. Not only your brother, meaning another Jew, but also a ger toshav, and he shall live with you. So Rav Chaim said, those are two different things. He says, Parshas Re'eh, the first one that he mentioned, when there's a pauper among you, when you're in your gates, in your land, and so on, is speaking to the individual. That's Chovas Hayachid. That's the obligation of the individual to give tzedakah, for which the mitzvah is, Pasarach Tiftach, you shall surely open your hand, and there are prohibitions against closing your hand. Whereas in Parshas Behar, it's talking about the community, which is why it also talks about helping the Ger Toshav, the non-Jew who observes the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So we have two different sections there in the Torah, one for an individual mitzvah of tzedakah, and one for a communal mitzvah of tzedakah. And there are practical ramifications for that. On the whole, since this is a tangent, I'm not going to go too far with it. What I wanted to show you is what he does in the second paragraph here, where he says, this is how you can explain a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says that Birkas Avelim, a bracha that used to be said, and may be said in certain contexts, during Shiva, as well as Birkas Chasanim, Sheva Brachos, require 10. He says, L'chora Kasha, this is difficult to understand. Lama b'mitzvos elu shel chesed ba'alma zekukim la'asara. Why do these mitzvos of chesed need a minion? Who needs a minion for comforting a mourner? Who needs a minion for celebrating a wedding? So he says the answer is, this is Rav Soloveitchik's idea based on Rav Chaim, he says the answer is that mitzvos of chesed have the individual's obligation, but they also have the community's obligation. And the reason why you require 10 for Sheva Brachos is because you need to have a community there. It's a mitzvah of the community to gladden the chasen and kala, to gladden the bride and groom. You follow? A little disjointed there. But that was a third idea for why we require a minion for Sheva Brachos. So we then asked in the Gemara, how do you know that we require a minion for Sheva Brachos? Where does that actually come from? And we brought two sources. One was Boaz gathering 10 men for his marriage to Ruth. And then the Gemara said, but maybe not. Maybe that's not proof. Maybe he gathered 10 in order to teach the halacha that Ruth was permitted, even though she was a Moabite. And then the other possibility was a pasuk in Tehillim. Now, Byron asked a question last time that Boaz needs to gather 10 plus himself. Does that prove that the chasen doesn't count towards the minion? And the answer is not necessarily, but wait for the Gemara on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph, because that's where the Gemara is going to ask the question of whether the Chasan counts towards the Minyan. So we will have to discuss it when we get there. Okay, but everybody is now hopefully oriented. We know where we're going, what we're doing. Yes? No? Maybe? Somewhat. Okay, so let's go into the Gemara now. We did enough time on the review for now, and let's see the Gemara itself. So I'm going to open it up on the screen. Everyone is welcome, of course, to use their own Gemara instead of piggybacking off of this one. And here we go. It is at the Tanu Rabbanan, at the two dots, about two-thirds of the way down the page. Tanu Rabbanan. Mevarchin birchas chasanim bebeis chasanim. So we make birchas chasanim, and again, birchas chasanim means the sheva brachos, in beis chasanim, the house of the wedding. What do you mean by the house of the wedding? Don't we do it for sheva brachos? So Rashi explains that what we mean when we say beis chasanim, if you take a look at the Rashi, it's all the way up. Bebeis chasanim kishenichnasa lechupas nisuin. Once she goes into the chuppah for nisuin. And the idea here is not to say don't do it during sheva brachos. Rather, what it means to say is we don't do this before the chuppah. Meaning, you start doing sheva brachos with the chuppah. Even if you have a separate celebration of kiddushin, you don't make sheva brachos at the kiddushin. Sheva brachos is only at the nisuin and thereafter. Clear? That's the Tanakhama. That's the first view. Sheva brachos is only recited from the chuppah and onwards. But now I go back to the Gemara, because that's only the Tanakhama's view. That's the first view. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af beveis ha'erusin mevarchin osa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, if you have kiddushin done separately, you're going to actually say sheva brachos at the kiddushin. So, you know, conceptual, just think through what we do under the chuppah. The way we do this under the chuppah is that we first have a bracha called birkas erusin, which we're going to talk about further along in the Gemara, and a bracha on a cup of wine, and he gives her the ring, right? That's kiddushin. Separately, then, we also have, after the ksuba is read usually, we then have nisuin with these seven blessings of the sheva brachos that are said in the chuppah. So what they would actually do is they would say those sheva brachos first at the time of kiddushin, and then later when we get to nisuin, you would actually end up doing it again. So that's the way it sounds from Rabbi Yehuda. Along comes Abaye, and he clarifies what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Amar Abaye. Ubi Yehuda Shanu. Abaye says, when Rabbi Yehuda said, you're doing the Sheva Brachos at Kiddushin, that was in Yehuda. Not Rabbi Yehuda, but Judea, the place. Why? Mipnesha Misyached Ima. Because the Chasan would be alone with her after Kiddushin. We know, and it's something that's going to come back up in the Gemara, that after Kiddushin, he and she are still prohibited to each other, right? They are prohibited to each other. The fact that you had kiddushin is all well and good, but that only serves to prohibit the rest of the world to her. It does not permit the husband yet to her. Nonetheless, in Yehuda, they're actually already secluded together after kiddushin. If you take a look at Rashi, Shemisyached Ima, Rashi writes, where is it? Hang on. Shemisyached ima be'erusin kidei shehelibo gas ba. They would put them together already at kiddushin so that he will be comfortable with her. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Kidele kaman, as the Gemara is going to say on your base. Lefichach mevarchin birkas chasanim mitchila. Therefore, we make birkas chasanim first. Why? Detanya b'meseches kala, kala b'lo bracha asura lebala kenida. He says, I'll tell you why we're doing this, we're having these brachos already in the early stage. The reason why we're doing it is because in Maseches Kala, which is one of the many Masechtos that are appended to the Gemara, we learned that without Sheva Brachos, she's prohibited to him. So in Yehuda, we are putting them together when they are still prohibited, pre-Nisuin. And lest you worry, well, wait a minute, how can you do that? If you're going to do that, then something could happen, and they're also to each other. Oh, no, don't worry about it. We took care of that. We did Sheva Brachos.
Rashi says, Erusin, not Kiddushin. That's even earlier.
Erusin is Kiddushin. Erusin equals Kiddushin. Today, we tend to use the word Erusin colloquially to refer to engagement, but not for them. For them, engagement would have been called, if anything, Shiduchin. But Erusin is Kiddushin. But Rashi says, you might have a problem there, because something may happen, so we'll solve it by doing Sheva Brachos. The Ritva notes on this, I think I even put it on the sheet. Yeah, the Ritva notes that you would still do the Sheva Brachos again at Nisuin. Either because it kind of looks funny if you don't, or because the joy of Nisuin is like Panam Chadashos, new faces. But I need to explain this a little bit more. Because I don't understand what in the world we're doing here. Right? Does anybody understand what kind of a game they're playing in Yehuda? She's usher to him before Nisuin. Right? Let's isolate them together. But wait a minute, she's usher to him. No, don't worry about it. We'll do Sheva Brachos. Why did anybody think this was a good idea? And Rashi's little note there, from the Gemara later on, that it's because we want him to be comfortable with her. Well, why is that a criteria? What are we doing with this? Henry, you were going to say? You're muted, though. You got to unmute. I don't know what you said. You got to be unmuted. All right. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I said they have the Arisen. They make Sheva Brachos. They make a L'chaim. They go away. Everybody makes a L'chaim. Then they come back.
But,
they have been suing.
But for what purpose? Why are you doing it?
Because I sleep by.
But what do you? Why do you need him to be comfortable with her? So let him not be comfortable with her. There's a breaking in period for the relationship. So let it be after the Nisuin. It's such a strange concept. I'm going to share the source sheet with you because not everybody has it, and I'll show you two different views about what it was they were doing in Yehuda. So, over on the second side of the source sheet. Oops. Two different views. There's the school of thought presented by the Ritva, and then there's the school of thought that is presented by the Ran and the students of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ritva sounds like what they were doing was just normal practice, and like what Henry is saying, like what Rashi said before, we just, this is it. We want them to be comfortable, that's all. If you take a look at source number two, the Ritva, Amar Abaye ubi Yehuda shana ibn Shem Yisachid ima perish lo sof davar bi Yehuda. He says it wasn't just Yehuda. Elohu adin kol shenoagin li Yisachid ima kaanshe Yehuda. Any community where they isolate the guy and girl together, like what they did in Yehuda. It's not even only Yehuda. Vayinu d'nak gotta be Yehuda stam, and that's why it just said and in Yehuda, meaning anyone who's doing what they do in Yehuda. The Ritva makes it sound like this was just a normal practice. They put them alone together. Like Henry said, we just want them to be comfortable with each other. The goal was not for there to be relations, but they realized this might happen. But aren't they prohibited to each other? So the Ran in source number three addresses that. The Ran says, Yesh mi shapirshu miha de'amrinan le'el ubi Yehuda shanu mibneshem isyachiri ma da'arusa muteres lebala min ha-Torah. The Ran says, the whole idea that a woman and man after Kiddushin are prohibited to each other, that whole concept that we're, what we're talking about here, that's only a derabanan. Mide'oraisa, they're permitted to each other. It's only midrabanan that they're prohibited to each other. So since it's only midrabanan, fine, we're okay with this. That's all one school of thought. However,
I have a question.
Yes.
Did they do Arison a year before?
As much as a year before. It could didn't have to be a year, but as much as a year before. Yeah.
So it was a separate entity.
Yes.
Maybe that's what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about.
But he's saying that after that, after you had that moment, right, of Kiddushin, some point in the next year, if it is a year, they're isolating together. They're secluded together. And it's just, yeah, they're in a bubble, if you will. So we use COVID terminology. The idea, according to the Ritva, is that it's just, this is normal. This is what they did. Like we said, for them to be comfortable. But I want to show you is the second view. Because the second view puts it in context in a way that I think makes a lot more sense as we try to understand what it was that they were doing. If you take a look at source number 4, the Ran there offers us another idea. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, etc. Amru bi Yushalmi. He quotes the Yushalmi. Vidavka bi Yehuda Shari. It was only in Yehuda that this was permitted. Mishum de Kabbala haisa bi yadam she Yehuda Harag Esav. There was a tradition that the Romans had, that Yehuda had been the one to kill Esav. Right? If you're familiar with the Midrashim about the fight over getting access to the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and all that, they had a tradition, the Romans thought, Yehuda killed Esav. Leficha, they probably read Ovadia. That gives it, that makes it sound like it. Leficha gazru shmad aleihem. Therefore, the Romans decreed specific persecution of Yehuda. De besula haniseis bedalet tibay lahegmon tchilo. What we saw in the Gemara earlier, that they would try to force a girl who was getting married to be with their general or their officer first. That was done specifically in Yehuda. That was where the Romans tried to do this. Because the Romans said, Yehuda killed Esav. Esav is our ancestor. We're going to get back at Yehuda. Lefichach hayu miyachtin osan bishas erusin, kedeshe libo gas bav yivol osa. The goal actually was for them to have relations. Ulizman anisuin hayu orim lo shiba ula. Along comes the Roman general. And we say, sorry, she's not a basula. Doesn't fit into your rule, into your law. And the goal was that relations would actually happen. That's the idea. Rabbeinu Yonah, or his students, in source number 5, add a twist to it. They suggest that the goal was to have relations already beforehand, him and her. The idea being that this would help increase the love between them. She would feel a greater bond to her chassan. And that way, in the event that she was taken by the Roman officer, we would still realize that, yeah, but her love is really with her husband. Whatever she did with the Roman officer was because she was compelled to do so. So that's what the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah suggests. But what I'm showing you here is, this business of what they did in Yehuda has two very different approaches. One approach is, yeah, they kept them together. They thought it's good. Let them get to know each other. Let them get comfortable with each other. The other view is no. What's going on is that in Yehuda specifically, and only in Yehuda, there was a fear of what the Romans were going to do. And they sought to use this to thwart the Romans. That's the idea. Everyone follow? And now, because you have that problem, because you're putting them together and they should be usher, therefore, they did Sheva Brachos. So now they won't be usher to each other. Jack,
I was just going to ask, so I think you just answered my question, but so the actual reciting of the Sheva Brachos makes them committed to each other even though they didn't do the Sheva?
Correct. What they really were waiting for is Sheva Brachos, even though they have not really done Nisuin.
You know how you first make the bracha over the wine, the rabbi makes that bracha. Don't you need those brachas as well?
So you've already done those. If you're talking about the first bracha on wine, that's part of Kiddushin. They did that already.
Oh, they did
that
already.
Yeah, that Kiddushin already happened.
So what do they still need to do in the Nisuin then?
So that's a really, really good question. The definition of Nisuin at this stage in our Gemara has not been fully fleshed out. There's a major, major debate as to what is Nisuin. Is it just being alone together under the chuppah? is that sufficient to create Nisuin, or is Nisuin something else altogether? And that will feed into probably these two views about what they're doing in Yehuda, but it's a little bit beyond the scope of where we're going to go in this year. I always have a challenge because some people want to cover ground and some people want to see more depth. So I'm trying to balance.
But is the Gemara going to discuss that later?
Sort of. It will come up tangentially via the Gemara. It's surprising that Ksuvos doesn't spend more time defining what Nisuin is. It will come up, though, for us. We're going to need to discuss it in order to understand things later on in the Gemara. Not today, but eventually. Okay. Yes, Alan.
But by the time you have Roman generals, all you have is Yehuda and Binyamin. Everyone else was before the first korban chased away.
Right. So I think what it means here is the geographic region we identify as Yehuda. Remember that already in the Mishnah, we define the land of Israel as three regions. You have Yehuda in the south, Galil in the north, and Eber HaYarden. So the region we're referring to here is the south, which corresponded, if you go back to Sefer Yehoshua, that was the area that had been taken by the tribe of Yehuda. When the 10 tribes are taken by Ashur, by the Assyrians, it isn't a clean-cut thing. There's this image that people have that the 10 tribes are gone and only Yehuda and Binyamin remain. But we know that that's not true. Number one, just logically, remember that Shimon had cities within Yehuda. So Shimon has to still be there. There's no reason for them to go. You also have Levium. So there are Levium, there are cities of Levium all around the country. Therefore, there are Levium who still remain, which is a good thing, because otherwise we wouldn't have them. So they're also still there. But further, when you look in Psukim regarding things that are going on later on, after the Assyrians have already come through, like in Yechezkel, you find that there were indeed members of other tribes who were there. When we say 10 tribes were exiled, what we mean is those who were living in the land of those northern Shvatim, as well as those who were living east of the Yarden, were taken away. But there were remnants of each Shevet who still remained. So that, by the time you get to the second Beis HaMikdash, and the Jews come back, it's whatever the mix is, which was largely Yehuda and Binyamin, populating land that previously had been either Yehuda's land in the south, or other land of other Shvatim further north. You follow?
Yehuda and Binyamin are the only tribes that were left. What about Levi? Also.
So again, Yehuda and Binyamin are the main Shvatim who remain post the exile by Ashur. You have some of Shevet Levi who are around. You have Shimon around, and you have elements of each Shevet as well showing up. It's not but just
that, Yehuda. So enough Levi and Levim to be in the Beit HaMikdash to do Mekonim.
So it appears.
Yeah.
So it appears. I mean, that becomes a separate problem because Ezra finds that the Levium are not showing up in real numbers to come back to the second Beis HaMikdash, and so he ends up finding them. They lose their rights to Maaser Rishon. That becomes a whole business. But yes, there were some around. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. We still have some headway we can make today. Someone asks in the chat, Josh asks in the chat, if anything, wouldn't the actions in Yehuda be preferable as the Sheva Brachos are recited twice? So, Josh, I'm not sure why you're putting it in the chat. You can ask out loud, but if you're not able to where you are, then I'll ask you to clarify. What would make it preferable? And I'm going to have if you mean it's preferable because you get to say Sheva Brachos twice, just the idea that more Brachos are better. Yeah, but on the other hand, if they're not supposed to be together until after Nisuin, the fact that you get to make more Brachos wouldn't, you know, have some fruit instead. Make more Brachos on fruit. I wouldn't advise this in order to just get more Brachos out of things. Have an extra Sheva Brachos meal in the week after after Nisuin. Okay, let's go see the Gemara. Okay. So we are now Here we go. If you're if you are looking at the wide lines, go up from there about seven lines. Tanya idach. I have a brisa further. Mivarchin birkas chasanim mibeis chasanim. You make birkas chasanim, meaning sheva brachos, with the chuppah and thereafter. Ubirkas erusin bebeis haerusin, and then the bracha on erusin, on kiddushin, you do with kiddushin. Okay. Birkas haerusin mai mevarech. So the Gemara says, what is the bracha on erusin? What is the kiddushin bracha? I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't know. I mean, everybody knows. You look at it, your sitter has it. But Ravin Barav Ada, Varava Barav Ada, Travayu Mishmed Rav Yehuda Amri, we have the two sons of Rav Ada. Ravin Barav Ada and Rabba Barav Ada both said, Baruch Da Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav, V'tzivanu Al Ha'arayos, God commanded us regarding prohibited relationships, V'asar Lanu Es Ha'arusos, and He prohibited for us women who are arusos, women who had undergone Kiddushin, Vehitir lanu es hanisuos, and He permitted for us women who are married al yidei chupa v'kiddushin via chupa and kiddushin. Period. End of bracha. Rav Acha breid Rava misayim ba mishmed Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha breid Rava said, no, that's not the end of the bracha. Rav Yehuda had an ending. Baruch Ata Hashem mekadesh Yisrael al yidei chupa v'kiddushin, that God sanctifies Israel via chupa v'kiddushin. Now there's a lot to talk about here with this. But just going through the bracha straight right now, the Gemara straight, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. Man Delo Chasim, the first view, the view that said there's no Baruch Ata Hashem at the end, said why? Is there no Baruch Ata Hashem? Midi Dehava Abirkas Peros, like the bracha on fruit. Meaning you don't need two Baruch Atas. Baruch Ata Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. Shakon Yabidvaro. Bari Priya Eitz. Bari Priya Adama. That's all you say. So to here, you don't need Baruch Ata at the end. And like Birkas HaMitzvos, like a Baruch on Mitzvos, you say, Lahadlik Nier Shel Chanukah. You don't need a Baruch Ata Hashem at the end. It's a straight bracha. Uman Dechasim, but the one who said, no, we do end with Baruch Ata Hashem HaKadosh Yisrael, Midi Dehava Akidusha, said, you do that because it's like Kiddush. Tell me something. Somebody help me out here. In what way is Birkas HaErusin like Kiddush? What does he mean when he says Birkas HaErusin is like Kiddush?
Maybe because you do both with wine.
You do both with wine. That's an interesting point. I haven't seen that suggested, but it's true. I mean, we do a lot of things with wine, though. Like we do Bracha Bris Mila with wine also. We don't do a double Baruch Ata Hashem.
You start with Bari Priya Gafin and then you do a second Bracha.
Yeah, but what does it have to do with? I mean, I'm not following. Are you saying why it's not the same thing as Bris Mila?
Why it's the same as Kiddush?
Because you have a Bar Priya Gafen and then you have another bracha. But I mean, at a Bris Mila, you have a Bar Priya Gafen and you also have the separate bracha of Lachniso Bariso and Al Hamila. I mean, there the Bar Priya Gafen is done separately. If you really wanted to push, you could show that Bris Mila is different. Rashi gives a very interesting idea for what we mean when we say it's like Kiddush. If you see the top of my shared screen here, Dahava Kiddusha, Kaven Dibalashon Kiddusha Hi, because it uses the language of Kiddusha, Ki Kiddush Hayam, like Kiddush of the day. In other words, this is Kiddushin. And Kiddush is Kiddusha. They sound similar. Therefore, just like Kiddush has Baruch Ata Hashem at the end, so too, this has Baruch Ata Hashem at the end. Tosfos thought that was a very strange idea. Tosfos says that's not what we're talking about here. The Tosfos' answer instead is to say, I'm going to stop sharing though, that the reason why we're doing it is because it's a long bracha, like Kiddush is. In other words, Kiddush, right, after you do your Vayechulu Friday night, that's just an introduction. Then you do your Bar Priya Gafen. And then you do a Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Ratzavanu V'Shabbos Kodesho, dot, 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 dot. And eventually, Baruch Hashem, Kadesh HaShabbos. So Tosfos says it's a long bracha, like Kiddush is. Therefore, you need to recap with a Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. Even though it's all one theme, more or less. Sorry, Henry, I don't hear you. You have to unmute.
Say that the reason that you have 10 people, it is because Kedusha. Right? That's what we need.
Yeah, according to one people.
Right? So do you have the answer? Because it is, you have to have a minyan. Therefore, you have to have, by David Kedusha, you have to do the chasim of the prophet.
So you want to connect the Gemara statement that this is like Kiddush with the idea that it's a davar sheh b'kedusha. But those are two different uses of the term kedusha.
Like Rashi says, in a way.
But those are two different uses of the term kedusha, and Rashi really, really just focuses on the language of kiddush that's associated with it. It's an odd thing. I mean, let me go broader here. Because this whole bracha is strange. First question for you. What kind of bracha is this? And prove it. What kind of bracha is this bracha? We have different kinds of brachos. We have brachos on benefit, berkos hanenin. We have berkos hashevach v'hoda'ah, right? Like we said for sheva brachos. Brachos of praise and thanks to Hashem. And we have berkos hamitzvah, brachos on mitzvos. What kind of bracha is this bracha of Erisin that we're talking about here? Yes, Ilan. The second one, meaning a bracha of shevach v'hoda, praise and thanks. What makes you say that?
Because that's what the lashon sounds like. It just sounds like a praise. I don't know. That's just
so good.
It sounds like
right. So that sounds.
It's talking in the abstract, almost about the benefit that you're getting.
Right. So that's the position of the Rosh. The Rosh says, when you look at the language of the bracha, it's just saying, wow, God, thank you so much for giving us this beautiful institution. It's Shevach Vehoda. Can anyone make the argument that it's a bracha on a mitzvah? Clive says he can.
I was going to say, he's giving the mitzvah of putting the two people together.
The mitzvah of bringing the two people together.
Telling who is permitted to be together and fulfill a mitzvah and remove.
So you can make the argument that it's a birkas hamitzvah. First of all, the bracha begins, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. Right? That's the normal formula for a birkas hamitzvah. He sanctified us with his mitzvos. And in fact, the Rambam says kiddushin is a mitzvah. There's a lot of debate about the Rambam's view. But I brought you on the sheet, I'm not going to share it again because we're getting to the end of our time, but I brought you on the sheet, the Rambam in source number 6 seems to think that Kiddushin is in fact a mitzvah. Not only that, we do Birkas HaMitzvah before you do the mitzvah, right? Over La'asiyasan. That's what you do here. We do this bracha, and then afterwards we do the ring. So it makes sense to say that there is a Birkas HaMitzvah. However, the Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says, no, it's not. He says, there's no mitzvah with Kiddushin. Kiddushin is just, when a couple wants to get married, this is the way they get married. But there's no mitzvah of doing Kiddushin. Sorry, what, Henry?
It's a heter,
exactly. It permits them to be together. That's the Rosh's position. He says, this is as Ilan said, it's a berkas shevach v'hodah. The Ran says, I'll tell you the truth, I disagree with the Rosh, because there is a mitzvah. However, he says, the mitzvah is Kiddushin plus Nisuin. And it's not complete until you're done with Nisuin. So all you're doing right now is a bracha of Shevach and Hodah. I gave you links on the source sheet, or I was going to. Did I actually? Oh, I see. They're in footnote 4 on the source sheet. I gave you links to a couple of shiurim I gave on this question of whether there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin or not. But the point right now is, we've learned there is a bracha on Kiddushin. One note here. There are a couple of notes I'd like to still make about the nature of this bracha. But go back into the Gemara and the language of the bracha. You thank God for prohibiting arusos to us, right? And permitting nisuos to us. Am I the only one who thinks that the bracha sounds like it's saying that God permitted married women to us? In other words, plural? Like, the bracha sounds like it's saying, all women who had kiddushin are prohibited to us. All women who had nisuin are permitted to us. That's what it sounds like. The Rashba made this point, not just me. Therefore, there's another addition that Rabbeinu Tam had. Rav Haigon had an addition which was different, but I'm just going to mention Rabbeinu Tam's addition, which is the one we use today. The addition that Rabbeinu Tam had was, Asar lanu es ha'arusos, God prohibited the arusos to us, v'hitir lanu es ha'nesuos lanu, al yidei chupa v'kidushin. That God permitted to us those who have nisuin with us. The only woman I am permitted to is a woman who had nisuin with me. Not a woman who had nisuin in general. That word lanu changes the game in Rabbeinu Tam's edition and makes it a lot more clear. Rav Haigon's edition took out the whole nisuin reference from it. Okay. So what we've accomplished today, aside from the review, is to learn that Berchas Chasanim is supposed to start from nisuin. In Yehuda, it started from Erisin instead, either because they wanted to have them alone together in order to let them get accustomed to each other, and we want to make sure that if anything happens, it's not against the law, or there was a specific tactic in Yehuda of putting them alone together because we wanted something to happen in order to thwart the Romans, and therefore, again, you needed these brachos in order to make sure they're permitted to each other. There's a separate bracha with kiddushin, and that's the bracha that we discussed at the end there, that we say is either a birkas hamitzvah, or it's a bracha of shevach and hodah, praise to Hashem for the institution of marriage. And we're going to have to come up next time with a couple of more details about the language of this bracha, because there are some things about it that are very odd. And then we'll continue from there in the Gemara. Okay?
What is the difference between Beis Chasanim and Beis Erisin?
Beis Chasanim is Chuppah. Beis Erisin is Kiddushin. Everybody just froze on the screen.
Why the Gemara is saying two different places?
Because that's the point. Beis Erisin was when you did Kiddushin, which was earlier, possibly a year earlier.
No, Tanya Edom. Look at Tanya Edom.
Yeah. I am. The Beis Chasanim and Berkas Erisin Beis Erisin. Correct.
But we were talking about them both at the same time.
No, they weren't. They were doing them at different times. That's the point. This Bryce is taking the view that you're not doing Sheva Brachos at the time of Kiddushin. That's exactly the Gemara's point. They're saying Sheva Brachos are done in Beis Chasanim, and Birchas Erisin is done at the time of Kiddushin. That's the idea. All right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Be well.
Thank you very much. Good night.